We got one young girl who wants to listen to Jeremy preach. Nope. Not today. Good morning. We will be in Matthew chapter 4 this morning, if you want to open there in your Bibles. We are in this sermon series entitled Rooted. I mentioned last week that we are in a spiritual battle for our hearts and our minds. And the sermon series is based on Jeremiah 17 that says, "But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by the water and sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought, and it will never cease to bear fruit." You see, we are discussing spiritual disciplines that put ourselves in position, like this tree, to receive nutrients, like the stream, in order that we might bear fruit. You know, love our neighbors and to love God. The process of spiritual formation puts us in position for God to transform our minds and to change our hearts. Let's read today's passage with that in mind and discuss how fasting and prayer can change our lives. "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry, and the tempter came to him and said, 'If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread.' And Jesus answered, 'It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Will you pray with me, please? Father God, I am just so grateful for your word. Grateful for this time that we can gather together to celebrate your holy name, to glorify and magnify who you are. And my prayer, Lord, is that your word will speak boldly to our hearts, that you'll guide and direct us this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew records three temptations in this order. Satan tempted him to turn the stone into bread. He tempted Jesus to throw himself off of the temple, and he tempted Jesus to bow down and worship him. And if you think about those temptations, mankind has not done very well against these types of temptations. Just this week, I turned $2.69 into a junior bacon cheeseburger. And how many of us have put ourselves in compromising situations, testing if God will get us out? And what about that last temptation? What would you do if you were offered power and money? Many would sell their souls. Now, preachers have used this passage to sell the steps of getting out of temptation, to getting out of trouble with sin. Maybe if you just memorize Scripture more, then you might get out of temptation. But listen, Jesus is not showing us a magic trick to get out of sin. Otherwise, spiritual formation would be nothing more than a tool that we can use to be sinless. No. Jesus is showing us how to put ourselves in a position to be transformed by God. Memorization is not the key. A changed heart is the key. Prayer is not the key. A new life in Jesus Christ is the key. You see, Jesus' success was a lifelong process that began long before he was tempted
by Satan. This morning I want to focus in and discuss how fasting and prayer transforms us into the image of Jesus Christ. And let's start first with this thought. We are hungry people. Paul describes what happens when you give into the appetite of sin and death in Romans chapter 1, verses 29 to 32. He says, they have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy and murder and strife and deceit and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, boastful, and they invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They have no understanding, no fidelity, no love, no mercy. And although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. Do you hear that? They know God's righteous decree, and they know it leads to death, but they did it anyway. And all these practices that he mentioned leads to pain in this life and death. And the sad thing is we don't really quench our hunger, and we end up a whole lot like Adam and Eve. You know, there are two times in Scripture where Satan has direct conversation with people. The first time is in Genesis with Adam and Eve. He tempted them to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And you see Adam and Eve. They were hungry, but not just for food. They had all kinds of food in the garden. But Genesis chapter 3 tells us that the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was not only good for eating, but also desirable for gaining wisdom. They had an appetite for being like God. And so, we have Jesus here in the wilderness. The wilderness represents the world that we now live in, the world that is apart from the garden. It's full of death and destruction that we brought upon ourselves when we all decided we wanted to be like God. And Jesus responds to Satan in the way that Adam and Eve should have responded, right? And he was able to do so because he had an appetite to seek God and his will. You see, that's what fasting and prayer does for us. It puts us in position that we can let go of the appetite for this world and seek God and his will. And ultimately, you can write this down as well. We can rely on God and God alone. We rely on God. We need to appreciate the connection between Jesus spending 40 days in the wilderness and Israel spending 40 years in the wilderness. I don't think any of that's by accident. True nourishment comes from God. Jesus received everything he needed during his time in the wilderness. Israel received everything they needed in their time in the wilderness. But what was the difference? You remember the story where Israel is right there at the Red Sea, and the Egyptians are barreling down towards them. You remember what they shouted? They said it would have been better if we had died in slavery. And God parted the Red Sea. And here they are, not very long into their journey, and they're thirsty. And they cried out, it would be better for us to have been in slavery than to die of thirst. And God caused water to flow from a rock. And then Moses, he was up on Mount Sinai for, guess it, 40 days. Ah, you guys start to see the significance, right? He was up on the mountain for 40 days receiving the word of the Lord. And what did the people do? They donated their gold bracelets, their gold earrings, and Aaron melted that down and created a golden calf. And they said to that golden calf, you are now our God. Will you please lead us back to Egypt? That's our appetite when we don't rely on God. Our appetite leads us back to slavery when we don't rely on God. And Jesus offers a better way. You see, fasting and prayer puts us in position to solely rely on God. I love this passage in James chapter 5 when James says, is any of you in trouble? You should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is anyone sick? Let him call on the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with the oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, and the Lord will raise them up. If you have sinned, they will be forgiven. Confess your sins to one another. Pray for each other so that you might be healed, because the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. What do you do when you're in trouble? You complain maybe to your coworkers, or complain to your spouse, or try to fix it yourself. What do you do when you're happy? What do you do when you're sick? And what do you do when you sin? Many people just try to cover up sin, right? And what does James say here? To confess, pray, go to God. Fasting and prayer reminds us that we need God in every circumstance of our lives, that our appetites should be focused on the will of God. And then we can live by the Spirit. That's the last thought I have for you this morning, that we might live by the Spirit. When we fast and we pray, we are surrendering ourselves to God. Author Adele Calhoun says that our human subtraction leads to divine addition. And I love that so much I highlighted it. I encourage you to write that down. That our human subtraction leads to divine addition. One of my favorite songs out right now is a song by an artist by the name of Josh Baldwin called Made for More. And the chorus of this song go like this. Because I wasn't made to be tending a grave. Man, that line right there just stood out to me. That's what happens when our appetites run wild. All we're doing is tending a grave. I was called by name, he says. Born and raised back to life again, I was made for more. So why would I make my bed in my shame when a fountain of grace is running my way? I know I am yours and I was made for more. These words are true. God has created us for so much more than what our appetite is craving. He has made us so much more than the worldly desires that lead us to be tending graves and making our bed in shame. You see, when we live by the Spirit, we experience the true life that God desires for us. Which is why Paul writes in Romans chapter 8 that you are not in the realm of the flesh, but you are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they don't belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives us life because of righteousness. We are living by the Spirit. We aren't tending graves. We aren't making our bed in shame. We are living the lives that God has planned for us, desired for us. You see, fasting and praying allows us to surrender ourselves to God so that the Spirit can have control. And even though Jesus was weak from hunger, he didn't change that stone to bread because he had the Spirit that gave him life. And Jesus tells a parable about an empty house that helps illustrate this human subtraction that leads to divine addition. He says when an impure spirit comes out of a person, it goes through arid places seeking rest and doesn't find it. That he says, I will return to the house I left. And when it arrives, it finds the house swept clean, put in order. And it goes and it takes seven other spirits, more wicked than itself, and they go and live there. And the final condition of that person is worse than the first. This is why it's so important that fasting and prayer lead to divine addition. Consider the alcoholic. If an alcoholic removes that addiction from his life, he must fill it with something else, or they might take on a worse addiction. Or consider with me the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. The Pharisee prayed and he fasted daily, human subtraction. But instead of being filled with the Spirit, we find the tax collector filled with pride. And he looks down on the tax collector, and he says, thank you, God, that I am not evil like him. And that tax collector beat his chest, cried out to God, I am not worthy. And Jesus said, one of those men walked away justified before God. It was not the man who fasted and prayed, but the one who surrendered himself to God, who walked away justified. Fasting and prayer is so important, but if we are not doing so to surrender ourselves to the Spirit, oh, all we've done is emptied ourselves. The spirit of pride might enter in. As we move into our time of communion, I want you to consider your appetite. Consider what you're chasing and how you're feeding your hunger. And as you do so, we are reminded of bread and juice that we take together, who represent Jesus, the promise that you'll never hunger and thirst again. Consider what you need to subtract from your life so that you can allow Him to enter in. Maybe you need to fast from your phone. Maybe you need to fast from Wendy's. Maybe you need to consider a deeper prayer life that surrenders you to God's way. Allow this time to be a time of reflection on a sacrifice that was made so that you could be divinely given new life in the Spirit. Let's pray together. Father God, I'm grateful for your amazing grace and sacrifice. Grateful for the resurrection that brings us new life. And I pray that as we go about this week, and as we reflect even in this time, that we might be reminded of the ways that we can subtract so that you can fill our lives with your Spirit. Father, thank you so much, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.